Thanks for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. This week, Pastor Daniel continues our series, The Gospel According to John.
Good morning, everyone. How are y'all doing today? Just a couple little things before we get started this morning. First of all, remember, like Jim and Ken said, if you'd like to put your More Than a Spot campaign contribution, just take that back to Jim. He's back in the back. I know somebody came in after that was announced. So you can just take those at any time during the service. I promise I will not yell at you if I see you going back there. But if I see you going in the parking lot, I'm going to send Kim Ignite after you. We got a deal. Awesome time of worship this morning. It was amazing. Every song that we were singing just filled my heart with this incredible awe of who God is. And I'm hoping as we talk this morning, the scripture that we look at is going to just go right in line with that. If you have your Bibles today or your electronic device, any way that you get the Bible into your hearts, go ahead and turn to John chapter 8. And today we're going to be looking at John chapter 8, and we're going to start at verse 31. And we have a lot of scripture this morning that we're going to look at. Some of it we're going to have to just glance right over because we have, I think, 28 verses that we're covering. We are in our series on the book of John. And I think this is message 25 in John. And one of the things I love about this is that we are being able to dig down extra deep and to find out exactly what the Apostle John is wanting us to learn about the person, Jesus Christ, who lived some 2,000 years ago. Last week when we left off, Jesus had been talking to a group of people. And some of the people in the crowd had started to believe and it started to become very curious about him. Some people were being antagonistic, and Jesus gave a warning. He said, guys, you really have to focus now, and you really have to start the deciding process of who I am and of what I am saying merits your trust. So he gave a warning to the people. Today, starting in verse 31, he continues that. And there's two major things we're going to look at today. The first thing we're going to look at is what is discipleship? And what does it mean to follow Jesus with all our heart? Jesus lays it out very early. And then secondly, we are going to look at some powerful evidence of who Jesus is. Jesus makes a very bold claim early in this passage we're going to look at. And then later, he backs that up by telling the people who he is, and it adds to the evidence that the Apostle John thought was very important. But I'm going to start reading at verse 31, and this is what it says. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, that is a very powerful passage, and that is something that probably a lot of us have heard before. Jesus, in these few short verses, is talking to this group of people who have heard him teaching. They've seen him do miracles. They've seen him do incredible feats. He's seen them feed thousands of people with just a small basket of food. And according to this, many in the crowd are starting to believe. Their curiosity is crossing the line where they're starting to say, you know what? I believe Jesus is who he said he was. But there are still people in the crowd who are still on the fence. There are still people who are not quite sure. There are even those who are openly antagonistic towards him. In a few minutes, we're going to see how against him they really are. But Jesus says, if you really want to be my disciples, you have to do a couple of things. And he gives us kind of this this roadmap of what discipleship looks like. And this is what it is. Jesus says, first of all, there's a belief in Jesus. Belief starts. Okay, I've heard Jesus' teachings. I have read Jesus' teachings. I have tried him and trust him in my life. You start to believe that maybe Jesus is exactly who he said he was. Then he says, you must remain faithful to my teachings. You have to find out what Jesus said, the context in which Jesus said it. And as a disciple, we have to start actually being faithful and leaning into what he did. That third thing is we have to lean into truth. Jesus, later in this passage, claims that he is truth. Therefore, we must start to lean in more and more into Jesus. And then finally, in this discipleship process, it is just a beginning, but we begin to experience freedom. Begin to experience freedom from what? Hold on just a second. We're going to get here. But this is how Jesus says discipleship begins. Let me tell you, for me personally, this is a lifelong process. I did not wake up one day and flip a switch and woohoo, I'm there. For me, I am still believing more and more what Jesus says. For me, I continue to try to be faithful to his teachings. I have to learn new teachings that he gives all the time. You would think, being a pastor, I would know everything Jesus said. But I'm not as sharp as you are. I still find new things all the time. I'm like, wow, Jesus said that? Jesus meant that? I'm still learning what it means to be faithful to his teachings. I am leaning into him. Some days, I find myself leaning away. Some days, I find myself running. Then other days, I find myself leaning more and more into his truth. And then we experience more and more freedom. Let me tell you something. Freedom is fun. But we're going to talk more about that in a second. These people in the crowd say this, and this is verse 33. Jesus just said, listen, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. And they say this, but we are descendants of Abraham, they said. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. And one of the titles Jesus has given to himself several times in the book of John so far is the Son of God. Whenever it says the Son, it's talking directly about Jesus. So verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Then they shouted, yes, we realize that you're descendants of Abraham. Jesus said that. But then some of them said, but then he said, yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. Their hearts had become so filled with suspicion of Jesus, with jealousy of Jesus, with outright anger of Jesus, that there was in some of their hearts absolutely no room for the message that Jesus was trying to share. There's a lot of things I might have shared if I'd been Jesus. As a matter of fact, one of the claims they make is, we have never been sins to anything. But you know what? I made a little list here of places that the people of Israel had been slaves to. The first place, they'd been slaves to the nation of Egypt for over 400 years. As a matter of fact, Pastor Ken led us through this thing about the Passover meal. They had been celebrating Passover just a couple of weeks before in our series here. Passover was a celebration of their release from 400 years in slavery to Egypt. They had also been enslaved to Assyria. They had been enslaved to Persia. They had been enslaved to Babylon. They had been enslaved to Macedonia when Alexander the Great came in and completely decimated them. And even in the very day that Jesus was talking to them, they were still slaves to Rome. Everything they did had to go through the filter of what the Roman authorities would let them do. Their worship went through the filter of Rome. Their taxes all went to Rome. They were still enslaved, yet when Jesus said, I will give you freedom, they shout out, we are children of Abraham, we've never been slaves. But for some reason, Jesus did not argue that point with them. I think the reason he didn't argue the point was because when Jesus was talking about being a slave, he was not talking about being a slave to a foreign power. He was talking about being a slave to a force that every one of us also has the potential to be a slave to. Jesus was talking about a slavery that has trapped me, a slavery that has the potential to trap all of us, and it's sin. Sin is a huge trap. It was a trap for the people in Jesus' day. It's a trap today. It's just as seductive, just as tricky, and just as deadly today. 4 weeks ago, I was at my friend Marcia Thorpe's house. And at Marcia's house, they get together and they do something that I am morally opposed to. They run. They jog, trot, or walk fast. Matter of fact, they did a 5K yesterday, and Ken got to go in it. Woo-hoo, good for you. And if you had a Facebook page, you know what his time was, and good for you. So we were at Marcia's house, and we were praying, because we also pray and read the Bible, which is much more important. And we were sitting there, and a new friend, who I'd only met a couple times and knew from a distance, said, today is my 10-year anniversary. Or she actually said, this Sunday is going to be my 10-year anniversary. And it was my friend Vicky. Hey, Vicky, raise your hand. And Vicky said I could share this. We've talked a lot over the last few days. And she said, go ahead and share. Vicky said, this Sunday is my 10-year anniversary. And I said, well, I didn't even know you were married. That's awesome. Okay. He goes, no, not 10 years married, but 10 years free from addiction to methamphetamine. And my jaw dropped. I said, what? She said, this Sunday, it will be 10 years since I got high from meth the last time. And I said, how long were you on meth? 20 years. She freely told her friends in that circle, I was a slave to meth. And she gave this to me. She said, Daniel, this explains my life for 20 years. And I want to read it to you. It says, I destroy homes and I tear families apart. I take your children, and that's just the start. I'm more valuable than diamonds, more precious than gold. The sorrow I bring is a sight to behold. If you need me, I'm easily found. I live just down the street or maybe next door. I'm made in the lab, but not like you think. I can even be made under your kitchen sink. I have many names, but there's one you'll know best. I'm sure you've heard of me. My name is Crystal Meth. My power is awesome. Try me, you'll see. But if you do, you may never break free. Try me just once. I might let you go. But if you try me twice, I am in your soul. When I possess you, you'll steal and you'll lie. You'll do what you have to do just to stay high. The crimes you'll commit, my narcotic charms, will be worth the pleasures you'll feel in your arms. You'll lie to your mom. You'll steal from your dad. When you see their tears, you won't even care. Just forget your morals and how you were raised. I'll be your conscience. I'll teach you my ways. I'll take everything from you, your looks and your pride. I'll always be with you right by your side. I'll take and I'll take till you have no more to give. When I'm finished with you, you'll be lucky to live. If you try me, be warned, this isn't a game. If I'm given a chance, I will drive you insane. The nightmares I'll give you while you're lying in bed, the voices you'll hear from inside your head, the sweats, the shakes, the visions you'll see, I want you to know these gifts are all from me. My power is awesome. I've told you before. I can take your mother and make her a whore. I'll be your master. I'll be your slave. I'll even take you to your grave. By then it's too late. You'll know in your heart that you are mine and we will never part. You'll regret that you tried me. They always do. But you came to me. I did not come to you. You knew this would happen. Many times you were told. But you challenged my power. You chose me to be bold. You could have told me no, then walked away. If you could live that over, now what would you say? Now that we've met, what will you do? Will you try me or not? It's all up to you. I can show you more mercy. I can show you more misery than words could ever tell. Come hold my hand. I will lead you straight to hell. When Vicky gave me that and read it to me, and I knew what I was preparing for this morning, I said, that is sin. That's not just meth. That is sin. It will destroy you. And sometimes people in the church, we become kind of conceited and kind of, well, I would never do that. I would never go there. But let me tell you something. I thought of a few sins that we struggle with that are just as deadly. Pride, arrogance, self-reliance, porn, drugs of any kind. Guys, when I read what Vicky wrote, when I read those words, I thought to myself, this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, whatever you do, wherever you go, however much it costs you now, please consider my claims, because if you don't, you are a slave to sin, and sin will destroy everything you love. It will destroy everything you have. Sin will absolutely suck the life right out of you, regardless of the form it takes. Vicki, I am so proud of you that for 10 years, with the help of God, you've said no. Something really funny, I couldn't believe that she said this. So we were talking Friday, and she was in between jobs, and we were talking on the phone, and she said, Daniel, I didn't tell her what verse I was preaching. She said, Daniel, if there's one verse you share, though, you need to share this verse. It's that verse that says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I said, Vicki, that's the passage I'm talking about this week. She said every day she reads that verse to remind herself that there is a truth and there is a lie. And Jesus Christ is truth. And everything else is a lie. The lifestyles, the fun, the enjoyment, the excitement, the thrill, the passion, everything else is a lie. And Jesus Christ says, I am truth. And Jesus says, I have the ability to help you to experience freedom if you believe me, if you lean into my teachings, if you trust me more and more. This next slide says it. We as a people, on this next slide, we as a people must have a belief in Jesus Christ. We must remain faithful to his teachings. We must lean into his truth. And then you can know true freedom. And she's going to be experiencing that for the rest of her life, because every day she's going to ask Jesus, help me not to go back there. And you and I can be the same way with whatever we're dealing with. They go on. Verse 38 says this, I am telling you what I saw when I was with my father. But Jesus says, but you are following the advice of your father. They shouted out, our father is Abraham, they declared. It's really interesting. The people of Israel were the descendants of Abraham. And they loved the fact that their great, 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 great going back grandfather had been called faithful and been called a friend of God. They relied on that. When I was a kid, I went to a little church. I used to go to a church in the big metropolitan city of Macon, Georgia. And believe it or not, there was a smaller city that I moved to. And we went to the only Baptist church in town. There were three families there. And it was amazing. These three families ran the church. And if you were not a Clance, a Dupree, or a Cannon, you were a loser. And I was a Smith. There are millions of us. You know, the Smiths have never done anything. And people would sometimes say, what's your name? Daniel Smith. Who's your daddy? Robert. He's right there. Who's his daddy? I don't know. What difference could it possibly make who my daddy's daddy is? It was important to them. We were at teaching team Tuesday, and I said, hey, guys, have y'all ever been in a place where it was important who your grandparents were, what your last name was? And people were like, yeah, I've seen it. Ken had seen it. Jim had seen it. Janetta had seen it. Chelsea had seen it. And I'm sitting there like, I only saw it one time in this little podunk church. I thought that was just in Macon, Georgia. But it's everywhere. People rely on who their parents were. I will tell you one time when I had become a Christian, I acted a little bit like Noel. Noel's an evangelist. And I was going, talking to people about Jesus, which is a beautiful thing to do. And I asked this guy one time, I said, hey, do you know Jesus? Well, my granddaddy was a pastor. Huh. Okay, is he here? Do you want me to talk to him? I'm talking to you. This is what the people of Israel were like in this day, and what a lot of people are like today. They had depended on the fact that they had the right pedigree, that they had the right genealogy, that their ancestor Abraham had done something great. So when Jesus said, you can be free, their first excuse is, we've never been free. We've never been slaves. We've never been slaves. And Jesus, I'm talking about a different kind of slavery. And then he says, guys, you have got to follow the advice of our father. And they shout out to Abraham. They keep going. No, Jesus replied. For if you were really children of Abraham, you would follow his example, Abraham's example. But instead, you were trying to kill me because I told you the truth which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. You see, what Jesus does is he goes back to Genesis chapter 18, where a story is told that one day Abraham was sitting at his tent. And one day, God incarnate came and visited him. And God came to Abraham with a message. And Abraham responded appropriately. He served God. He offered God the best of what he had. He worshiped God, and he talked with God, and God gave him advice, and Abraham took it and incorporated it, and he loved the advice he got. Now, Jesus is comparing how Abraham responded to God's message to how the people are responding to God's message. You see, Abraham welcomed the message of God and welcomed the messenger of God in human form. These people had God in their midst. They had Jesus Christ teaching them the word of God straight from the source. And they wanted to kill him. And Jesus said, how in the world can you say you're children of Abraham when you were behaving so contrary to how Abraham behaved? Verse 41, now you are imitating your real father, they replied. We aren't imitating children. We aren't illegitimate children, they said. God himself is our father. And Jesus told them this in verse 42. If God were your father, you would love me, because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Verse 43. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. Last week, we looked at a passage where Jesus said, I am from above and you are from below, and it's very hard for you to understand because we are not on the same page. And one more time, Jesus is saying, guys, I am speaking to you. I am telling you the truth, but there is no way that some of you in the crowd are going to be able to listen because you have so filled your heart with hatred and so filled your heart with other things that your mind can't comprehend what I am saying. When I read this, it almost sounds like Jesus is getting a little desperate because he loves these people. He cares for these people. He wants them to understand what he is saying has life and death consequences. It has consequences for eternity, but they just can't hear it. They just can't get it. Again, because Jesus is from above, and their hearts and their minds are focused on things below, and they can't hear. The remainder of this passage of scripture that we're going to look at, Jesus takes off any subtlety. Jesus becomes very bold, and he says something that he hopes is going to get their attention. He says this, for you are children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, he's trying to get their attention by saying, you guys are children of the devil himself. And I'm sure that had to shock their systems. But then he gives a great description of who Satan is. He says Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and he will deceive you any way he can. I've been deceived by him before. I can remember as a kid, this was before I was 10. I was probably 6 or 7 years old. I was in a Quickie Food Mart. I had taken something else from a Quickie before, but we talked about that a few weeks ago. There was this little bitty thing of cheese on the counter. And it was a little thing of what it called Roquefort blue cheese. And I'm from the country. We don't know what that is. And I desperately want it. There's only one problem. It costs 25 cents. I did not have 25 cents. So I remember thinking to myself, I really want that. And I've bought stuff here before. Certainly they would let me take it and, you know, credit. And I can pay them back another time. But I knew they wouldn't. And this little voice in my head said, they'll never know it. It doesn't make any difference. A little voice said, I just do it this one time. It'll be all right. You'll never get caught. And you know what I did to that little voice? I listened fully. And I went and I got that little piece of cheese, 25 cents, put in my pocket. Oh, I was smooth. Ooh, I was smooth. And I got out of the Quickie. When I got out, I was so scared. I had the cheese. I wanted the cheese. But then I started hearing another voice saying that was not right. So I did what any good little 6 or 7 year old would do. I gave it to my mother as a gift. Hey, Mama. Look what I have for you. What do you think my mother said first? Thank you? No. She said, Sugarfoot. Where did you get the money to pay for that? I remember my mother marching me back in there and giving that, you know, if I'd waited about 3 or 4 hours, but, you know, 20 minutes after you leave, she knew something was up. That little voice lied to me and told me there would not be consequences. There were consequences. That little voice told me I wouldn't get caught. I was caught. That little voice lied to me. And even though I would love to tell you I have never listened to that little voice again, unfortunately, I have listened to that voice. And that little voice is still lying to us today, telling us there's no consequence for our behaviors. We can do whatever we want. Nobody will ever catch us. Just do whatever you want to do. That little voice is so easy to listen to. But let's go on. Verse 45. Jesus says, "For you are children of your Father. So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of a sin? And since I am telling you the truth, why don't you simply believe me?" This was a phenomenal statement Jesus just made. There were other writers of Scripture who said that Jesus never sinned. Some of his disciples who followed Jesus around for years said, you know what, there was no sin in him. These people that Jesus is talking to on this occasion are experts at finding sin in other people's lives. They were experts at it. They had accused him of healing on the Sabbath. They had accused him of forgiving sins when he shouldn't have. They had accused him of all these things that he had done wrong. But at this point, Jesus stands up and says, can any of you accuse me of anything? I have not sinned, yet you still won't believe me. Again, their hearts were so crowded with all these other things that they could not see God standing right in front of them. Verse 47, anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to my words, to the words of God, but you don't listen because you do not believe. You do not belong to God, and because you won't believe me. They stood up and started yelling. Verse 48, the people retorted, and they said this. The people retorted and said, you Samaritan devil, didn't we say all along that you were possessed by a demon? Now, this is an old insult. Anyone who ever associated with Samaritans, they would insult them and say they were unclean. The people of this day in Jesus' vicinity, the Jews, hated the Samaritans. Now, you remember just about a month or so ago, Jesus sat down. Pastor Janetta did a message where Jesus sat down with a Samaritan woman and talked to her and engaged in her life and gave her freedom from her life of her past. And that lady went and got more people to come listen to Jesus. Well, that story had probably circulated around this place, so they knew that he had hung out with Samaritans. So they give this old insult, you are a Samaritan devil and you're possessed by a demon. But Jesus says, no, I have no demon in me, for I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And though I have no wish to glorify myself, God is going to glorify me. Now, this begs an interesting question. These people are hearing straight from God himself truth. They are hearing truth about their lives, about their actions, about their hang-ups, about their insecurities. How do they respond? Well, I need to ask this question. How do we respond when we hear truth? Here's a couple of ways. Sometimes we own it and we change. We hear truth about some action, some attitude, something that's out of line with what God wants us, out of line with Jesus' teachings. And sometimes we absolutely own it and we change our behavior, and that's awesome. Sometimes we do exactly what these people are doing. We change the subject. Jesus tells them truth. Well, we're from Abraham. We've never been slaves before. Well, you hang out with Samaritans. You're nothing but a Samaritan devil. You're possessed by... They change the subject. Sometimes people rationalize. They say, well, I might have some issues, but not nearly as bad as that. Or I might deal with this, but at least I didn't do that. We rationalize our behaviors. Sometimes we attack the messenger. That's exactly what they're doing to Jesus. They want to find anything they can to discredit him. They really want him to shut up. And anything it takes to get him to shut up, they're going to do, even if it means picking up a stone in a couple of minutes and stoning him to death. This is a freebie this morning. How do you respond to truth? When someone tells you a truth, even if you don't want to hear it, how do you respond? Let me go on. This gets kind of pointed in a minute. Verse 51, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. I love that. Anyone who simply leans into my teachings will live forever. The people said, now we know you're possessed by a demon. Even Abraham and the prophets died, but you say, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? And Jesus answered, if I want glory for myself, it doesn't count. But it's my Father who will glorify me. You say he is our God, but you don't even know him. I know him, Jesus says. If I said otherwise, I would be as great a liar as you are. But I know him and I obey him. Then Jesus said, you know, just looking at that for a second, I almost hear a desperation in Jesus' voice. I've read the book of John several times getting ready for this, and it's almost like Jesus is rashing up. He's saying, guys, listen, you have got to understand what I'm saying. You have got to get this. You have got to get it into your soul, because there is nothing more important. There is nothing more shattering, potentially, for your life. He's saying, please listen. Please get it. Please. Then he said in verse 56, our father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. Jesus is rashing it up. He saw it and he was glad. The people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham? And then Jesus says something that's amazing in verse 58. He says this. Jesus answered and said, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. That word, I am, is the exact same name that God gave himself in the days of Moses, when Moses saw a burning bush and he went and didn't even know what to call God. He didn't know what his name was, but he knew he was seeing something miraculous. And a voice came and told Moses, you are going to free my people from bondage. And Moses was like, a very legitimate question, who are you? And the voice said, I am. And he got it. And he followed. And he leaned into God and he did miraculous things. The people said, who do you think you are? And Jesus said, I am. At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him. They were going to kill him. But Jesus was hidden from them and left the temple. And the passage ends there. But I need to ask you this question as we close this morning. Who in the world do you think Jesus is? That question will change your life. Who is Jesus? There are two answers to that question. You can say Jesus is dead and gone. He was a good teacher. He was a legend. He was a made-up story. Jesus is not who he said he was. Or you can say that Jesus is I am. He is God. And I want to let you in on a little secret this morning. How you answer that question is going to determine if you are one of two things, and there's only two options for you. You can be a slave to sin, or you can be his child with all the benefits and all the joy, all the freedom that comes with that. But you don't have a middle ground. I believe with everything in me that if you say no to Jesus, you have so crowded your heart and so crowded your soul with stuff that you just can't hear him, you just can't recognize him. He has proven who he is. And if you say yes to him, you can be a child. Your sin, no matter how great, no matter how devastating it's been, no matter where you've been or what you've done or who you've hurt, can be forgiven and you can be a child of God. Or you can stay a slave. I want to read this to you again because I think it bears repeating. Jesus said, I can set you free. Jesus said, I am truth. And I want you to experience that. Will you pray with me?
Thanks again for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. To learn more about us, visit us at www.olathewesleyan.org or visit us on Sunday morning at our 10:30 a.m. worship service. Thanks again.